What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Sellums, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Good to be back. Good to see your face. And, to all the podcasters out there. Been 2 weeks, you know? A little busy week last week for both of us on different days, but we're back, you know? We're ready to roll.
We have been busy boys. Sorry last week, no episode, but we just kind of figured we could either put out a really, really late episode and like some points and everything be irrelevant. It still kind of is to like some extent, to like some of the things we're going to bring up, but like not really. but like, yeah, it was just not, the juice was not worth the squeeze last week. So we ended up just ultimately deciding to can the idea of recording an episode and we'll just push it back another week. So
if you're looking for an episode last week, full-time jobs. Surprisingly not full-time jobs.
Not yet.
Somebody wants to pay us to do it. We're all ears.
I already live on Twitter, so I will devote my life to just continuing to live on Twitter.
Twitter's going away. We gotta pivot. We're gonna have to pivot.
You know what my thing is though? Twitter's great. Like I love Twitter. I've been on Twitter.
It is fantastic
for a really long time. I'm on Twitter now. I keep Twitter open when we record just to like get news updates and see what's going on as we're recording. I've been on Twitter since October of 2011. So I've been at this for 11 years.
Yeah, I was around 2012, 2013, I think. So damn.
Like Twitter was wild back then. I've seen it.
It was so wild.
Like the early days of Twitter, it was crazy. And then like 14 through 16 was crazy too. And then it kind of fell off a little bit, like more recently than anything, but it's starting to pick back up, I think, a little bit. But then with the whole Elon purchase and all the fake accounts and stuff, I mean, that's hilarious.
Oh my God.
Objectively, it's so some of the funniest stuff I've seen on online. I'm all for pivoting to a new social media platform, but like I haven't seen one that like seems like it could be Twitter 2.0. like there is no replicating this. Like that's the thing. Like I forget who said it, but someone said Twitter is the best and worst place in the world because like you'll have so much fun while you're on it, but then at the same time like want to kill yourself because of the shit you see on it.
Some people take Twitter way too seriously. I mean, like some of these people are just really, really out of control about how much they let Twitter affect their mood. It's crazy. I mean, go outside, folks, is what I say. But hopefully we don't have to pivot. We totally flopped on Instagram. So we'll see what happens. But let's see what's been happening in Rangers land in the last 2 weeks. Should we just start with maybe, so we don't have to do this in different orders, the game? I know it's not as fresh anymore, so it's like not as exciting. But the game on, what was it, November 8th, Rangers Islanders. We were going to record after, but it was just a little bit too busy. But a 4-3 Islanders win. That was quite the interesting game for sure. I don't know. You have any initial thoughts? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it was a super frustrating game, obviously, if you're a Rangers fan. So I think the last time we recorded was the week before. I think the Rangers went on like a a 2 or 3 game win streak.
Both teams were hot.
So they ended up losing to Boston that next night pretty badly. Boston's a pretty good team. I kind of mushed them the same way I mushed the team that we shall not name. Like every year saying like, oh, this is when they're going to start falling off. Because like the Bergeron stuff was kind of up in the air. Krejci coming back was just kind of like, all right, he's a year older and played in, you know, a European men's league. They look good. Marchand came back and he was on fire. McAvoy, I think, returned tonight or tomorrow or sometime soon.
Something like that.
But so the Bruins are still pretty good. So the Rangers got they went on a 3-game win streak and then followed that by a 3-game losing streak. So, they got pretty beat down by Boston 5-2 on that Thursday. They had a 2-day break. They lost in overtime to Detroit, which was annoying because they were up 3-0 or 2-0. They were up 2-1 after one. and then let two goals go in the second period, and then they get the OT. They get scored on an OT. So that was frustrating because it was just like, you know, I don't want to even say like they took their foot off the gas in that game. It was just, you know, the Red Wings got a couple in the second period, and then you know, they just weren't there in the third period, where you easily could have won that game. But yeah, the Islanders game was the one that frustrated me the most, because like they just, like the Rangers just flat out, in my opinion, just looked better. I thought, you know, after the second period going up 3-1, you know, they get scored on first, they get a chippy goal back, from Hedel, at the end of one, score two in the second period. And, you know, I'm feeling good going into the third period, up 3-1. I was a little nervous. I was feeling good, but I was also a little nervous because the Islanders, literally the last two games prior to that, went into the third period down 3-1 and ended up winning. Pellick gets a weird goal, like really, really quick, like within a minute of the third period.
13 seconds. I mean, it was a good forecheck. I mean, it was a good shot, I think. It was a good forecheck, but...
like it just in a sense where it's like it was weird in the sense because it just caught Igor off guard, and that's why it was weird. It was just kind of like it happened and everyone was just like, what the f-? Like, because the period had literally just started, like you're just kind of assessing, okay, we're in the third period and that's a goal, what the and then that second goal in the third went in to tie it, and then I was a little nervous at that point. And then I'm not going to say, like, because it's not like the non-tripping call is the reason why the Rangers lost the game. The Rangers lost the game because they took their foot off the gas.
And we had talked about that. Yeah, we had mentioned that just prior.
But, like, they stopped playing after the tripping call, everyone assuming it was going to, you know, continue to be that it was going to get called. The Islanders were still skating because no one blew the whistle. And, you know, Lee gets one in past Igor. To put the Islanders up 4-3 at that point. And at that point, the game was over. I was frustrated because the Rangers took their foot off the gas. And I was frustrated because maybe the closest ref was 5-10 feet away from the play. Clear tripping call. Not called. And you know, you had been tweeting about some other stuff yesterday about a high stick call that they didn't call and then looked... The refereeing, and I tweeted about it early in the season when the Rangers played the Avalanche. Like, the refereeing this year has just been atrocious, with missed calls or made up calls or let's review the play. Oh, they were a fraction of an inch offside. We had a, like, the Zegras goal was a fucking highlight reel goal where he did the Michigan again, and they call it back because it's like, oh, offsides. It's like, oh, well, way to be so poopy pants about that. So it's like the refereeing's just been terrible. The Rangers ended, like, they lost that game because they lost that game. It's not the ref's fault that they missed a tripping call. It is the ref's fault that they missed a tripping call, but it's not the ref's fault that the Rangers lost the game. That's the point I'm trying to get to. So,
I think that's super fair. And I mean, we had talked about it in the midst of the game when it happened. You could tell that it was definitely a trip. There's no doubt about it, which is also ironic because remember last year, Wahlstrom did the same thing where he elbowed Lindgren and they didn't call it and the Islanders tied it. But this one was for the win. I mean, everybody stopped. Like you said, I don't think they should have been in that situation. But I also think you got to give the Islanders credit for coming back. I mean, they came back the night before, which I guess we'll get to briefly, even though it's kind of old news. Came back from down 3-1 in the third. You know, it happens again. It's kind of like you have that confidence. You have that ability. And, you know, I mean, credit to them. I think everybody did stop playing on that last play. And I fully admit it should have been a penalty. I tweeted on the podcast account. I own it. But... you know, like you said, they can't be in that situation, but I don't know. It was so long ago, so I don't even remember really what happened in that game, but you got to give the Isles credit just for that never-say-die attitude. I mean, their big guns stepped up to play when it mattered the most with Nelson from Barzal and Dobson, Yali. I mean, it was just an overall great comeback, and I mean, you kind of figured that first period is what it is. Second period, you know, you get a goal from, I think Kreider had scored it or Trocheck. I forget which one it was, but Mayfield had kind of knocked it out of Varlamov's glove. So, you know, you take what you can get, but I guess that's the ebbs and flows of a hockey game where things can go both ways. But it was definitely a sweet win for the Islanders, even if the ending was a little bit questionable. But, you know, I mean, they hunkered down in that last 2 minutes as well when the Rangers had that 6-on-5 where they were just firing the puck. So, I mean, credit where credit's due to the Islanders. They played a great third period.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rangers shook that loss off. And this was so easy money. I should have bet this game. They went to Detroit. They had just lost to Detroit like 4 days earlier. They blew the game to Long Island. There was not a doubt in my mind that they were going to lose that game. And they beat the shit out of Detroit. It ended up being an 8-2 loss. Like, it was just a shit game. It's one of those
where you're mad and just going
beat. Literally, I think it was 8 different goal scorers too. Zibanejad had one. Yeah, so the beginning of the second period, they were down 2-1, and then the floodgates opened. So Zibanejad had the first one, Kreider had the second, Fox had the third, Goudreau had the fourth, Zibanejad had two, so he had the fifth, Gauthier had the sixth, Hayek scored a fucking goal, and then Jimmy Vesey had a goal. So it was just an onslaught of goals. And the Gauthier goal came literally like 40 seconds after this Zibanejad goal. So that was a good win for the Rangers. They needed that bounce back win, especially first night of the dad's trip. Second night of the dad's trip, they traveled to Nashville.
I caught the end of this one after my hockey game. That was
especially the end. It's a tough loss, but they just got out-goalied at the end of the day. Like, I truly think the Rangers played the better game. They just, you know, they just literally couldn't get the puck in the back of the net. Saros was giving them rebounds left and right that people just weren't jumping on. The Nashville guys were jumping on it, or they would get a stick on it and just, you know, he'd make another save or a puck would go wide or whatever. Gauthier had a pretty bad miss. He put the puck wide. He was right on the doorstep and just put the puck, it was on his tape, right on his tape. It was easy. No one was even there. So that kind of stunk. But, you know, the other thing too is Saros was a Vezina finalist last year. So I'm not going to really, I think
he's a top five goalie in the league for sure. I think it's, so I think like, it's in no particular order. I think it's Demko, Sorokin, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Saros for sure.
We lost to a guy who I'm like 95% sure was a Vezina finals last year, so
I believe he was.
I'm not going to be too upset about a loss there. And then the Rangers played again on Sunday, a back-to-back. They went from Nashville to the Garden, played Arizona again. This time around, it wasn't like the first game against Arizona was definitely had a little more fight to them. This game, it was a beatdown. Again, a 4-1 victory for New York. Goudreau had a goal, Fox had a goal, Kreider. Former future Ranger Clayton Keller had a goal, and then Carpy got one. Ryan Carpenter got one. So great win there. Igor almost had the shutout. Upset he didn't, but he was, I think, the first star. He ended up being the first star that game. So a great bounce back win after a tough loss the night before. And they got a nice little 3 days off. I think they started traveling today, so they're doing a West Coast tour. This next
late night hockey. I always love late night hockey.
They got Seattle on Thursday, which will probably be a tougher game than I'd like to admit.
Seattle's pretty good this year.
San Jose on Saturday. Yeah, they got Seattle Thursday, San Jose on Saturday. So there might be a redemption there. Kings and then Anaheim. Kings and Anaheim game is back to back. So and then they play Edmonton, but at the Garden, which is weird. And then to round out November, since I'm just going through the rest of their schedule, but we'll talk about it in the upcoming weeks. They got the Devils, who are
10 games in a row,
hot right now. They are red hot.
I'm not convinced. I think they're good, but I'm not convinced they're going to keep this up, obviously.
I think they're going to drop off too. It seems like they always do.
They'll make the playoffs. Like, they might, I think.
They'll probably be like a wild card spot at the end of the day. They're like, I feel one injury away from like falling off, like one big injury, probably, and it kind of comes crumbling.
Entropy will catch up at some point over the course of the year. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's like I'm not gonna. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Then Ottawa to round out the month. But yeah, no, Rangers don't look bad so far. They don't look great. Their record right now is, what are they, 8-6-3. So could be better, could be worse.
I'm glad you said that really quick, because there's been a lot of talk about the Rangers, especially from a certain hockey podcast that is very popular, calling them mid or average. So when you say not too great, not too bad, it kind of does feel like they're like middle of the road right now. And I also feel like, I feel like they're still a playoff team, you know, at the end of the day, they have the talent for it. But I quite frankly think that you and I kind of called this before the year when you were like, you know, we both say that like Shesterkin's not going to put up those numbers again, like those crazy numbers. And Kreider's not scoring 52 again. I mean, those were two big influences to winning 52 games. And this is not me ragging on the Rangers, of course. I mean, I've said that before, but it's just like, you know, entropy does kind of come around a little bit. So I think that maybe people are maybe overreacting a little bit to the step back, because I don't think that they can view it in the lens of being like, oh, you know, some things last year were maybe a little bit unprecedented for a team coming out of the rebuild for the first time. But I think people are overreacting at least a little bit, you know. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think all the cards fell the right way for the Rangers last year. So it was just kind of like, you know, they just kind of went on this like magical run.
Yeah.
They're very middle of the road right now, but so are, I guess, a lot of teams that made it deep into the playoffs last year. Like Colorado is third in the Central with an 8-5-1 record. So it's like, you know, they won the Stanley Cup and they have the same amount of wins, one less loss, and they've also played three less games. So it's like, you know, a lot of these teams right now, they have very similar records to New York that are playoff contending teams. Like Tampa Bay is the second wildcard team right now. They were back-to-back champs and went to a third final last year. So like, you know, I'm not too worried. I have it on our thing right now, like a state of the union almost. So I'll just continue going before we switch it over. Like, real just quick, sorry, super quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'll get back to my point after.
Like, I don't think anyone should be panicking or like looking to hit a panic button, because again,
people everything love to do kind that. Of, they love like, it on Twitter.
Like, I think like I just said, everything fell the right way for New York last year. Kreider scoring 52, it's not going to happen again. Igor putting the numbers he put up, it's still early. He might do it again. He probably won't get as close, but he's going to put good numbers up. I still think, you know, there are some new faces to this team right now. So I think they're still trying to get everything situated. They've had some injuries here and there. They're messing with the lineups a little bit. So I think in the early parts of the season, it's you have that wiggle room to be a little creative, you know, but they need to tighten it up going into December. Because then when, you know, February comes around, you need to be playing your best hockey going into the deadline, and then past the deadline, that's when you guys got to be lights out.
Yep.
Everything's got to be clicking. So I wouldn't be worried right now if I'm a Rangers fan. I think when they're playing well, they look great. And like all the advanced stats are saying, like their expected goals are really high. They're just not – it's high because they're not – pucks just aren't going in the net. But it's like they are expected to score X amount of goals a night. They're just, you know, they're just getting unlucky with the puck crossing that line. So wins will come. Goals will be scored. Everything's okay. And it's okay to take a step back and still make it to the playoffs. You don't have to be a number one or a number two or a number three seed. Like, I would ideally, like, yeah, if you're going to step back, be a three seed, be a wild card seed. Like, because that's what we were projecting last year, and you far exceeded all expectations. So,
yeah,
everyone cool off. The Rangers are fine. They will find their game. They got to just piece together wins against bad teams and move on. And be competitive against the good ones, and you're fine. They will be fine. Like, I'm not. And also, don't fucking sweat games in October and November. Like, you're gonna be bald, or you're gonna be ripping your hair out by the end of the season because you're like, oh, they should have won this game in October, and oh, they blew. It's like, bro, yeah, I get it. Like, you could look back, hindsight's 20/20. You could say, oh yeah, well, they probably should have won that game, or they probably should have won that game. It's like, well, they didn't. You had to just move on. It's like, you know. It's going to be okay. We are going to be fine. We are fine.
Speaking of the playoffs, with that, everything you just said in mind, I look at the Eastern Conference right now. I think the West is a little bit trickier, so I'm not going to go into that.
The Atlantic, you have Boston, Toronto, Tampa. Metro, you have Devils, Islanders, Hurricanes. Wild card, you have Rangers, Panthers. And that's the playoff cutoff line.
Then you have Detroit, Montreal, Philly, Washington, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Ottawa, Columbus.
Now, I don't want to count Pittsburgh and Washington out yet. Washington, I might, because their injuries are tough. Pittsburgh really doesn't look good. I think that this eight might hold up.
Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Devils, Islanders, Hurricanes, Rangers, Panthers. Not in that order.
But it seems to me, the way things are trending, that this eight could hold up, man. I'm really thinking that it's
a distinct possibility that this is the playoff picture, perhaps come around April time.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a real possibility, man. I don't know. Like I said, I don't really want to count out Washington or Pittsburgh, but
you know, you dig yourself a big enough hole by Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's, it's not going to be looking good. So we'll see. But anything else on the Rangers you want to wrap up before I head to the Islanders?
No, I have one more thing to talk about, but we can talk about that after this recap.
Word. So the New York Islanders are playing some great hockey. Things are well over here.
11-6-0. They are 8-2-0 in their last 10. I mean,
they're rolling. You know, you figure
maybe they get those two wins against the Panthers that they deserve, and obviously maybe some of the games they don't deserve.
But you figure they get those two wins against the Panthers, they will all of a sudden be a 13-4-0 team. They're playing some great hockey. I'm very proud of it.
I'm going to run through it quick just because it's been a while. But the last time we recorded, I believe they beat the Blackhawks. But after that, they put a stomping on the Blues 5-2. Jordan Binnington is a rat, and he's terrible. Lost to the Red Wings 3-0. That ended the glorious winning streak. It was a tough game. It was a Saturday matinee game. Not too mad about that one, even though they looked absolutely terrible. Then you get the game against the Flames. Down 3-1 in the third, and you get goals from, if it would load, goals from Lee, Palmieri, and then Dobson in overtime. Followed up by, of course, the Ranger game we talked about, which was Pelech, Nelson, Lee. I mean, I don't think I've yelled at my TV like that in a long time. I mean, in the regular season. I think those two games were just nuts. I mean, to have those two comeback wins back-to-back, and it was crazy. I mean, I don't yell over the regular season a lot, but those two got me. It's like the best 2 days of my life back-to-back. But I was super impressed by that. And it's one of those that like gives you a lot of confidence, you know, both as a fan and as a player, I think. I mean, I can't speak to what's going through their minds. But as a fan, you know, now you're down 2-1 in the third, and you're feeling pretty good. Of course, they followed that up with a 2-0 loss to the Coyotes. Probably should have won that game. They hit a couple posts, you know. Coyotes got some good goaltending, so not going to totally complain about that one, but it was a tough loss regardless. Come back again this week. Columbus, 4-3 overtime win. Didn't watch. Heard they played meh at best, but a win is a win. Then they played Monday against Ottawa. This is, well, yesterday, I guess, technically. Time sneaks up. They played a really good game last night. I swear they were on the PK for like, they were on the PK in the second period for 9 minutes. And, you know, they, you come out of that with only one goal against on a 5-on-3. I mean, very impressive. So they're playing some great hockey right now. And I have a stat from this great account called Everyday Isles on Instagram. Since October 26th, among NHL teams, Islanders have the most win, the most points, the most goals, the most 5v5 goals, the most 5v5 shots on goal for, and the best save percentage in the league. At a 9.56, which obviously is not going to hold up. But, I mean, over a half a month, 3 weeks, that's pretty good, man. You know, they're...
I you know, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, because this team, they still have a lot of work to do. And I think
Lambert has been great. I know I called him over his head a few games in, which was a major overreaction by me. A major mush. But
there's absolutely no way that you have had a major overreaction or called for players to leave the organization.
No, that was nothing. That was nothing against the guy. I just I thought he was a good asset.
Run the tapes back.
I hope no
Dobson out.
It's buried somewhere in December of last year where I asked for Noah Dobson to be traded. But that's okay. It's fine. But the team is
rolling. Noah Dobson out.
Lambert's getting his footing.
The team is great. I mean,
they finally, maybe, you know, it makes you think, right? It's almost like
a 13-game road trip and then COVID to start your homestand is going to sink you. It's crazy what that does. And I think we all saw this coming, or not all of us, because all the bums on Twitter that like to overreact. Quite frankly, I'm mad because you know what? The Islanders played great in the second half of last season. At least, okay, great's a probably an overreaction. They played good in the second half of last season. They're missing Pulock. He's back to healthy. You know, the coach was, Barry Trotz was kind of checked out. And you know, they had a lot of other injuries. Pageau was still hurt. Quarterback was still hurt. Everybody's healthy. New coach, new system, active D. People picked this team to win the Stanley Cup last year. I don't think this is far-fetched at all that they were good. And I, you know, you have that inkling, but people were like, oh, you know, how dare they not get Johnny Gaudreau and not go after Tarasenko and blah, blah, blah. This team is good. And if they can just claw out a playoff spot at a wild card spot even, I don't know if you can hear that. My mic is like freaking out, but I hope nobody can hear that.
You're good. I don't hear it.
But, you know, if they claw it out, then quite frankly, I don't want to see the Islanders in the playoffs. Even if I'm a team like the Devils, you know, they're young, they're fast, but maybe this will be a cold take in the end. But the Islanders do have that playoff experience, so I would not want to mess with them when April comes around. But I'm very excited for the season. It's great to see the guys playing well. I'm trying to think who stood out in the last few weeks. I mean, Sorokin's a beast.
Barzal's got 17 games, 18 assists, no goals. I know you were laughing about that one earlier. What a nuts.
That's just a crazy stat to me. Like, I was more so just blown away than anything. I'm like, how does this guy have a point per game? But like, his points are all from assists.
It's crazy. I think the Islander record, somebody tweeted today, I think it was Kevin Kurz from The Athletic, was 21 assists, which this guy from 1990, I believe his name was, I can pull it up, Gary Nyland. He was a defenseman. He took 54 games to get that first goal. So Barzal is way ahead of him at 17 games. So I think it would be hilarious if he got 0 goals and 82 assists. I mean, you have to give him some sort of award for that, right?
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of – I mean, he obviously would be a record holder.
Oh, for sure.
Like a record that would never again be broken. No. I think we'd be dead before that record gets broken again, because they have to add more games, I guess, at that point for it to be broken. But yeah, I don't. Yeah, there has to be like some sort of like NHL like Razzie award where
there's got to be
he wins like MVP without a goal.
But yeah, super impressed with the Islanders. You know,
they're looking great. Brock Nelson's a point per game player. He's been awesome. Lee's point per game. Pageau looks healthy finally, which is awesome. I mean, he's been great all season. Parise's playing in a great depth role. Mayfield's playing great. Pelik Pulock. I mean, I really don't see any down spots. I also must say, the mush, I tweeted the other day, and I do not retract my statements of this mush because he was terrible for the first bit of his career.
Sebastian Aho has played a tremendous 10 games. The guy has been amazing. So I'm very happy that that's working out. I don't know if we see Salo again.
That alcoholic.
Sebastian Aho. Oh.
I forgot. Callback. Callback to the summer where he had one Michelob Ultra and got arrested in Sweden.
Oh my God, I forgot that happened. I was like, yeah, we don't care. But
he had a Heineken Zero when they got his ass.
Bro just took a whiff of a beer.
Bro had a slice of toast.
He's looked great though. I mean, I'm very impressed with him. And the only one that's honestly been bad, I must say, number one is Soshnikov, who was on waivers today, and Beauvillier. You know, I think it's time to cut ties with Beauvillier. He's Barzal's like best buddy, but I'm sure Barzal has other friends.
Come to the other side. Brother.
I mean, he's a Ranger killer, so I mean, honestly, you probably like that, but.
Come to the other side.
Barzal's got to have other friends. It's a business. Beauvillier is not very good, and we can't pay him anymore. So I vote Beauvillier off the island next. Hopefully this is a reverse mush. Soshnikov's gone, which means the Islanders have an open roster space. So I don't know if it's exactly like Lou to just not utilize that. So there's a lot of speculation that 2019 first-round pick Simon Holmstrom might be coming up soon. So that would be cool. But that's Islanderland. Things are great. Things are grand. I'm loving life.
You know, two losses recently. I mean, they've really – I know I'm just totally ranting at this point, but let me look at their schedule. I have only seen two losses since
October 23rd. So I'm not going to complain about that at all. So all is well. Goodbye, Nikita Soshnikov. Thank you for your time here. Probably goes back to Russia. But yeah, that's all going on in the land. I don't think anything else too exciting has happened. The funny one was Goudreau. You sent it to me, but just for the pod, came out with a quote today. It was like, yeah, you know, I was very confused by the paraphrasing, of course, the booze on Long Island. Like, I didn't talk to the Islanders once or free agency. I was like, nice. Such a.
I could, yeah. Hold on. I'll pull up the exact quote.
Thank you.
Okay. Johnny Goudreau was confused, if not amused. It was Saturday night in Long Island, and every time the Blue Jackets winger touched the puck, Islanders fans at UBS Arena booed him. Quote, I was talking to my coach after after the third shift, and I was like, I don't get it, Goudreau said. Quote, I didn't talk to the Islanders once through the whole free agency.
I think it's stupid that they booed him, but whatever. I mean, that's
it classic. It's pretty stupid, but it's also kind of funny because it's just like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, it's funny because it was expected because the speculation was that like he could end up on Long Island. They had the space, I guess, to get
all the insiders were saying Isles or Devils. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like all the insiders were saying the Islanders are in on him. He's gonna, you know, he's definitely considering the Islanders. Where in reality, it didn't seem like that at all. It seemed like he was considering New Jersey and the Blue Jackets. But yeah.
People learn that Lou doesn't reveal anything. Nobody should trust any insiders. Nobody ever. But
nope. I guess the one other thing that I had on the list, I think the last thing, and it's not entirely his fault that he has been underwhelming this year, underwhelming his whole career essentially, but it definitely hurts his case that he tore his ACL last year. But Sammy Blay, I truly don't see a world where the Rangers bring him back. Like
he's not very good.
Yeah, he's not good. He's not doing much right now. He looks slow as shit. Like he maybe definitely looks ACL, like he should not be playing.
He was pretty quick back in the day. I'm surprised.
Yeah, he definitely looks like he should still have taken some time off to really rehab and get his legs back from under him.
That's a shame.
He's looked really bad. He's just a net zero on the ice. He doesn't do anything really positive. He's not doing anything really bad. He's just not doing anything. And I'm like, I don't need someone like that on this team. I need someone who's just doing good things. We said it. It was a bad trade when it happened. He's not great. We understand why he got traded, but it is what it is at this point. And we got to move on. So Blay, enjoy the rest of the season as a Ranger. But I truly do not want to see him back next year. I'd be shocked if we saw him come back next year.
Sure, brought back Mott instead, man.
I'm still really hurt by that. Like Mott is 10 times the player that Blay is.
Yeah.
And he's not that great either. Like offensively, he's
much better than him though.
Oh yeah, no, worlds above him, but. Yeah, that's about it in terms of things going on. I'm just looking at the Rangers cap friendly right now, and it's as expected who's going to probably leave after this season. But yeah, not much else going on.
Not much going on around the league. I feel like it's pretty status quo. You know, the teams are slowly figuring themselves out. You know, you got Detroit, Philly, Buffalo, Arizona kind of falling down the ladder. Teams like Colorado, Tampa, Edmonton slowly climbing up. I think the big surprises have really been Seattle, St. Louis.
Edmonton doesn't look great, though.
Edmonton does not look great, and Jack Campbell looks terrible.
He looks bad, and their bottom six is really bad.
Atrocious. And also, speaking of bad,
and in a lot of trouble, I think, the Ottawa Senators. You know, I mean, they don't have that dog. We talked about it before the season. They do not have that dog in them. The Ottawa Senators, man, they just don't look good. They got problems, man. I don't know what else they could do. You know, they've been rebuilding for like a decade now. Maybe that's unfair.
Kind of crazy.
6 years.
And they were the team I said could sneaky make the playoffs, but it does not look like it at this current juncture.
I mean, then you got to worry. I mean, DeBrincat's not going to want to stay there. Like, I'd love him on the Islanders, man. Oh, man. I would love him on the Islanders.
2 years from now, maybe.
But, yeah, you want to move on to the player trivia?
Yeah, sure. You want to go first?
I went first last time. So
Last time? I don't have that good memory. I'll do first this time.
All right.
All right. So this player played for two teams with the same color back-to-back. He's a noted guitar player. He was the 2010 best forward at the World Juniors. He had an insane first career goal. And this one might give it away. He was traded for the player that the Rangers traded Ryan Spooner for, if that makes sense.
So this player was traded for the player that the Rangers traded Ryan Spooner for. The trade tree is traded right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So he was traded for the player that the Rangers
got in exchange for Ryan Spooner. Yeah.
All right. So now I have to fucking think back to.
I thought that would be a good one. The next clue is going to give it away, so I'm not even going to say it.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure when, unless my memory is, because I'm pretty sure Nash got traded to Boston, and they got Lindgren and Spooner. So I have to assume you're talking about Lindgren.
It wasn't that trade, actually.
Oh, fuck.
It was a different Ryan Spooner trade, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So the Rangers traded Ryan Spooner for somebody, in which a separate trade this player was traded for.
Oh, this is really throwing me for a loop because I don't remember how they got Spooner.
Doesn't matter how they got
Spooner. Yeah, that's how they got Spooner. Yeah, so who did they fucking trade Spooner to?
Just think, 2010 World Juniors, you know, so that gives you an age range. Play for two teams back-to-back, same color. I can always give you the team that they traded Spooner
to. Spooner get traded to the fucking Oilers?
He did.
Okay, so it was the Oilers. So who the fuck did... Oh, okay, so is fucking Ryan... Is it, okay, so Ryan Strome.
Yeah.
So Ryan Strome is who... So the Oilers traded... Oh, fuck. Who is it? Oh, no. Who is it? It's Eberle.
It's Jordan Eberle. Nice deductive reasoning.
Oh, my God, dude. The Spooner one got me because I was like, dude, they traded for him and then trade. I'm like, who the fuck did they trade him to?
I did not even think about the Bruins trade. That was my fault, but yeah.
That's where I was trying to, because I'm like, yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
So, like, they traded Nash for that, and I'm like, and then I forgot they traded Ryan Spooner.
Yeah, no, they're strong. Okay. Yeah, so Eberle, back-to-back team, same color. Edmonton Islanders, plays a guitar, 2010 best forward at the World Juniors, had that nasty first career goal against the Flames. Remember, did the little 2-on-1, fell down backhand, disgusting. And then the last clue was he was an expansion draft selection to Seattle. So thought that might be
all right. Easy. Okay. All right. Mine's, I feel mine's tough. Okay. I tested it with my friend Jake, who is just a hockey encyclopedia of just nonsense. Like, he just knows things. So he said one of my clues was a giveaway, so I changed it.
Okay.
All right. So this player won the 2013 Kharlamov Cup. It's the Russian Juniors Cup.
Okay.
He has never made it out of the first round of the NHL playoffs. Scored his first goal in the home opener for this team in 2019. He was an undrafted free agent and currently, and for his career, is a half a point per game player. I do have a sixth clue, but it's not like.
Run to that. So he won the Russian Junior Cup?
He won the Russian Juniors in 2013. Has never made it out of the first round of the playoffs, NHL playoffs. His first goal was his first goal, but also it was scored on the home opener for the one team he played on in 2019, which was his first game. Undrafted free agent and career is a half a point per game player.
Okay, so he's a decent Russian. He's a decent Russian, but he came into the league when he was old.
Who the hell is that?
Sixth clue is he's two years older than me.
2 years older than you. Oh God. So he's like that age range. That's what I figured. That makes sense. Damn. What Russian came into the league late in his career? You know, it's not a guy. What the hell? An undrafted Russian? I think it's got to be something like Tampa Bay. I don't think it's...
I have one more clue for you.
Okay, not yet. Not yet. I can get this. Not the giveaway clue. Oh, man. I'm trying to just run through Russians in my head. Who could be... A 0.5 is pretty good. I don't know who was undrafted, though. It was a Russian. Barbashev? No, he was in the league earlier than that. Who the hell is a... I'm thinking like Sapachev or Gusev, but they're not even in the league anymore, so that's not going to do me any good. Oh, jeez. I'm going to be so mad when I don't get this. I already know it.
Oh! No, it's not... No, I'm stupid. I thought I almost just said Panarin. Jeez Louise. that's not even close.
I wish he was fucking 4 years younger.
Jeez. I need like a Russian. Watch, it's not even going to be Russian. You're going to just throw me for a loop here. It's not even going to be a Russian.
He's Russian.
Okay, he's Russian. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. 2019. People listening to this friend is going to be like, these idiots. Just Kevin rambling on trying to figure this out. I'm just trying to think of teams who like Russians, you know? It's like... And I can't think of any Russians.
I have two clues for you.
Okay. I'll take the harder one.
he signed a 4-year deal this summer.
Interesting.
With his second team.
He's a free agent this summer. God, I have no idea. What am I...
Backup clue. He has only played for Canadian teams.
What am I missing here? Oh, got him. Ilya Mikheyev.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. That was a tough one. Jeez Louise. Oh, my God.
What were the clues again?
He was the winner of the 2013 Kharlamov Cup.
Okay.
Never made it out of the first round of the playoffs, which I thought was kind of...
giveaway.
Like, that's what I thought was like... I'm like, this is kind of like a...
Damn it.
A layup clue. Like, he should dial into... It's probably like the Leafs. Scored his first goal in the home opener / his first NHL game in 2019. Undrafted free agent. Yeah, I was shocked. I was looking at his career numbers. 180 games. 160 games, 80 points. Yeah, 159 games, 80 points.
What was the giveaway? The contract? That's what rang the bell for me.
No, so Jake was like 65. Because I was like, he's number 65, and he's like, that's going to be a giveaway.
I think I would have got 65. That's a good point.
Damn, that was a tough one. You just dropped Ilya Mikheyev on me. I got to step up my game next week.
Well, the first time I was like, you know, I went pretty simple, and I was like, you know what, I gotta really Kevin got it really quick. So I'm like, I really gotta stump him.
What was your one last week?
It was McAvoy.
Oh, McAvoy, that's right.
Also, just because I was also thinking of him because I think I saw something saying like he was going to get ready to return soon. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Kevin doesn't like this guy. Let me do this.
There you go. Speaking of guys I don't like, but respect regardless, John Tavares, 400th career goal tonight. That's crazy. I mean, 107 players have done it in NHL history, which seems like a low amount, does it not? I know 400 goals is a lot of goals, but 107 seems pretty low. And he's only the 13th active player to do it. So that's a hell of a career, man.
The second stat's a little more surprising, but yeah, I guess 107 guys. It is a pretty low number. Right? One like guy who immediately, legend? One guy who immediately sticks out to me because they use like the same line in all of the NHL games is Ray Ferraro, because that's like his like patented like he's like Ray, not how many goals did you have? He's like, oh, like 400 something like it was something stupid where it's like shut up. It's like this game is so dumb. If you're gonna use the same voice lines every year, it's like
the game is terrible. The game is absolutely...
I still have not downloaded it. I have not.
It's so buggy. Don't.
So you are someone I know that has nothing good to say about the game. No. And I've asked Jake, who also has the game, and he goes, yeah, it's pretty good. It's fine. He's like, it's an NHL game. It's the same thing every year. And I'm like, I'm hearing mixed reviews. You're saying it's terrible. He says it's fine. I'm like, you know, I don't know what to believe anymore.
It's not like the worst thing ever. It is like the same, you know, it's NHL.
But I also, yeah. And also the thing is too, is like people on Twitter were like, yeah, it's as bad as like NHL 15. And like that was right before I played NHL 16, and they were like, yeah, 15 is like one of the worst NHL games. 15 like, is the of worst all of all time.
Yeah, they just rushed this game out. No surprise there. They're a bunch of bums.
And they didn't fucking give us what we wanted.
Just let Chris join my EASHL team. For the love of God. Man. Is it that hard? That's all we need. God, I can't take watching the computer defenseman anymore. I can't do it. I need you to be there. Gosh, can't do it. But yeah, that's about all I got. 50 minutes, 45. Not bad, not bad. Good to be back, though. Love to see it.
Yeah, not too bad at all. What a comeback episode. We'll probably record one next week.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll record one next week. We usually take Thanksgiving off, but since we took last week off, we'll record next week. I'm not doing anything.
I hear you.
And the Rangers play late, so it doesn't really matter. And I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so I can record as late as I fucking want.
Let's go.
Me fucking too. 3 a.m. pod.
Oh my God, that would be the most. We should just do that one time just to see what's. We would get canceled, I think. Somebody would say something stupid.
What lucid thoughts I have at 3 in the morning.
3 a.m. pod. Oh, jeez Louise.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that I wanted to bring up? Unrelated.
Go ahead.
You sent me the Adidas starter. Starter, it's its own brand, but the Adidas like track jacket for the
so electric
the Panthers. It's gas. It's fire. I wish everything you need. It's
banned for that.
It screams like 90s like drug dealer, which is just awesome. Like, it's just a sick jacket. I don't love the buttons. I wish they kind of took like the starter approach where it was a pullover with like a half zip.
Fair.
That's what my Rangers starter is, and I don't wear it as much as I should, but it's such a beautiful. It's a great, great jacket. Yeah. That accompanies a great jersey. So
Chris just DM each other too much stuff over the course of the week that all blends together.
Pretty much. One other thing that I wanted to mention, kind of going back to a reverse retro talk, since they wore them for the first time. Seattle's fucking reverse retros are
terrible.
Atrocious.
Terrible.
They're terrible. And did you see the clip of the Bruins and Vancouver, the Canucks fucking wearing
both in white?
Who ended up changing? I don't know.
The Bruins? That's a good question. I think it was the Bruins because they weren't scheduled to have a reverse retro night that night, ironically enough.
Ooh. Were they just warming up in them just to get the hype going, maybe? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. The Bruins got problems.
Because that's what the Canucks did like a week or so before. Like they warmed up in the reverse retros and then came out like the normal jerseys. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
The laundry guy is punching air. 100%.
One last thing. This is the last thing I have. It just came out like today. I haven't heard like the whole thing because I was in class, but they did like, I guess because it's Tuesday, so it should be on ESPN. But they did one of the coach interviews like during the period with Torts, and he just flat out said, yeah, we suck. Like, yep. We're just bad.
I love it. I love that, man. He was so great. Over it.
All right, so I'll wrap it up now. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. We really appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Listen to it on the Anchor app. We're everywhere. Make sure you subscribe or leave us a 5-star review or leave us a 5-star rating and write us a nice review and share the podcast. Friends, family, dogs, cats, extended family. You know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. There is not a better time than to, you know, have to show your drunk uncle FBTB and have him be like, what the fuck is this shit? And then he shows it to everyone. That's how the podcast grows. You could watch football on mute and listen to all the episodes of From Broadway to Belmont.
Yeah. Can't think of anything better.
That's the way Thanksgiving was meant to be observed and celebrated.
BTV.
Make sure you follow the podcast account on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. As per usual, Kevin tweets on it. I tweet on it. I respond to it on my own Twitter. So lob us a follow there. That's about it. Kevin, anything else?
No, sir.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. Dump, 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 dump